All right, welcome to Grace Point Thursday night. Good to see everyone in the spirit out there listening. We've been going through the book of Matthew. Father, I just pray my continual prayer that you would open our hearts and minds to the word and grant us revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, let us know who Jesus is and what he's done for us, Father. And help me, Father, as I teach in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to plow on. We're going to talk about the centurion now. In Matthew chapter 8, I think it starts with verse 5, it says, "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. 'Lord,' he said, 'my servant lies home paralyzed and is terribly suffering.' Jesus said, 'I will go and heal him.' The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof.'" Last week we talked about approaching Jesus, right? He calls him Lord. He's beseeching him on behalf of his servant. And he's humble. He says, "I don't even deserve to have you come under my roof." So different than the woman that came kind of boisterous up to Jesus and said, "Help me, my daughter is sick." She didn't say, "Help my daughter." "Help me, my daughter is sick." And Jesus, she was a Gentile too, and Jesus called her a dog. Notice the centurion, he knew he was outside covenant. He knew he didn't deserve for Jesus to do anything for him. But he came and he was beseeching him. And he called him Lord. And he even said, "Hey, I don't deserve." Just a note that goes kind of along with last week about humility. By the way, if you're a believer, you've been qualified by God. You're not a centurion, Gentile, outside of covenant. We still need to approach God with humility. But we've been qualified, according to Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. We've been qualified. We've been made meet. We've been made fit. God looks at us through Jesus, and he doesn't see any stain on us. Just so you know that. But still, it's always good to be humble. He said, "I don't deserve for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. I say this to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." I'm going to stop right there. We'll finish the rest of it here, but I'm going to stop right there. Okay, so this centurion approaches Jesus, and he asks for help. I want you to notice something. He comes up to Jesus. Reading this text, how long did Jesus think about going and healing this centurion? Just like that, right? Jesus knows who he is. He knows why he's on earth. He knows what he's doing. He knows this guy's a Gentile. So even in the New Testament, even though Jesus is only going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, here we see Gentiles starting to come in. And there were Gentiles that got miracles in the Old Testament too. Remember Elijah, Naaman the Syrian, and I think the widow from Zarephath. There was things going on in the Old Testament too where God gave Gentiles miracles. But predominantly, Jesus was coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But here this centurion's coming in, and he's going to get crumbs from the master's table, okay? And Jesus immediately says to him, "I will come and heal him." Now, when I think about this, I always think about Hebrews chapter 13, I think it's verse 8. He says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Whatever he was yesterday, he is today. And that's who he's going to be tomorrow. You know, in the Old Testament, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, means the Lord our healer. And there are covenant promises regarding healing in the Bible. They're all contingent on faith. And faith is a relationship, and faith is a journey. But God's nature has not changed. Even last week, we talked about last week with the leper being healed. You know, in the Old Testament, that there was provision for leprosy to be healed. This wasn't anything new to Jesus. Remember how Jesus asked the guy, he said, hey, take your gift that Moses prescribed and offer it to the priest. Over here in Leviticus 14, I won't go through the whole thing, but here in Leviticus 14, it says, the Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for the diseased person at the time of their ceremonial cleansing when he is brought to the priest. The priest is to go outside the camp, examine him. If the person has been healed of his infectious skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the one to be cleansed. I'm going to skip down. Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the infectious disease and pronounce him clean. Then he is to release the live bird in the open field. One bird's killed, the blood's applied. One bird's released into the live, into the field. Isn't that amazing? So even in the Old Testament, there was healings going on for leprosy. God provided healing for it. Here in the New Testament, no different. And it's remarkable. I think it's the last chapter in the Bible that healing is mentioned again. Way back in the Old Testament, right here in the book of Matthew, and then in Revelation, it talks about, at the very end, it says that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. So God is always interested in healing. And people say, well, then why don't people always get healed? Well, you have to ask God about that. You know, I don't have all the answers to everything. You have to ask God why someone doesn't get healed. I puzzle over things. I pray about things. But one thing I do not doubt is it's God's nature to heal. And when something happens to me physically, I always go to the Lord because I know He's the same. One thing I absolutely do know, that you need to have faith. When you go to God, you got to go in faith, believing that He hears you and He's going to give you what you're asking for, or to appropriate and to apply what He's already done. So here, this centurion, Jesus said that his faith was greater than anyone in Israel. Isn't that amazing? It makes me think, you know, one part where Jesus talked about, he said there were a lot of widows back in the Old Testament, but Elijah was sent to a Gentile woman to feed her. There were a lot of hungry people, but Elijah was sent to a Gentile. He said there were a lot of lepers in the Old Testament. There were a lot of lepers, but Elijah healed a Gentile leper, Naaman, right? So there was all kinds of lepers. He says, why did God heal Naaman, Gentile? Why did God heal the widow woman? Okay, well, they approached him right. You go back in there, they handled it right. So it wasn't that God wasn't willing to, right? And man, they got mad at him. They were really upset with him because, number one, he's including the Gentiles into blessing. And he was saying, hey, if you're not trusting and believing God, God's going to bypass you guys, which he did. He did bypass them. Very interesting stuff. Very, very much ties into this here. So he is praising this centurion because the centurion is operating in great faith. And in his humility, his faith is so good, the centurion understands authority. And he knew that Jesus had authority over diseases. Do you think he still has authority over diseases? If he had it in the old, God worked through prophets, God worked through priests. He has it here. You see it in the book of Acts. Do you think he still has authority over diseases? I'm asking you, what do you think? I think he does. He still has authority over diseases. And then he tells Jesus just to speak the word. That's amazing to me. How is authority released in your world? How is authority released? If you're a mom and dad, okay, you might have to spank your kids if they don't listen, but how do you release your authority? I'm asking. You release it by your words. You say, Jimmy, stop that. Jimmy, go over here. Barbara, sit down. Don't you do that? And if they don't do it, then you have the power to back it up, right? Bobby, go to bed. Cindy, do the dishes. You release authority through your words. Jesus releases authority through his words. And the centurion knew it, that he had that power and authority. We'll talk more later about your authority, because we'll get into that as we go on in the book of Matthew. But so the centurion knew it, he had faith in it, and Jesus, it says, he had great faith. And he marveled at it, that this centurion had such great faith. I want to encourage you, you know, don't be deceived and tricked out of not operating in faith. Do you know the Bible says four times in the New Testament that the righteous person will live by faith? We always have to be operating in faith. We always have to be walking in faith. Bible says walk in faith. Says live in faith. And the Bible says we should be speaking faith. As I believed, therefore have I spoken. The whole new covenant operating in the kingdom of God comes about through living in faith and walking in faith. You should never be in unbelief. Remember last week we talked about having thanksgiving and praise? That's right. Even during obstacles, even during trials, we should always be expressing what we are believing about God. If I confess that Jesus is a healer, I'm not making him a healer. I'm just saying what he is. I'm not trying to make him a healer. If I'm confessing and believing God for something, I'm only believing what God has already promised in his word. You can come up and say, but. And I said, I don't have an answer for all your buts and all your questions. I just know what the word of God, how it reveals Jesus and how it's been revealed to me. And I want to grow in this thing. There is transformation. There is growth in this thing. We do want to grow up into Jesus. There's no condemnation if someone's struggling with sickness or someone's struggling with an issue in their life. There's no condemnation in that, but I want to grow in this thing and I want to learn about it. And everything that the Lord's purchased for me, I want to walk in. How about you? You won't get there through doubt and unbelief. Get there by trusting the Lord. All right, I'm going to end right there, and we'll pick up. I want to say a little bit about the Gentiles here, a little bit more, but I'll do that next week. We'll just pick up right there.